The following is a Sunday feast lecture on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 18, text 58, given by Dhanavir Das Vanachari on March 14, 1993, in Gainesville, Florida.
Machchita sarva durgani mat prasada tarishusi atachitvam ahankaran nashroshusi vinangshusi. Translation, if you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness but act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. A person in full Krishna consciousness is not unduly anxious about executing the duties of his existence. The foolish cannot understand this great freedom from all anxiety. For one who acts in Krishna consciousness, Lord Krishna becomes the most intimate friend. He always looks after his friend's comfort, and he gives himself to his friend, who is so devotedly engaged working 24 hours a day to please the Lord. Therefore, no one should be carried away by the false ego of the bodily concept of life. One should not falsely think himself independent of the laws of material nature or free to act. He is already under strict material laws. But as soon as he acts in Krishna consciousness, he is liberated, free from the material perplexities. One should note very carefully that one who is not active in Krishna consciousness is losing himself in the material whirlpool, in the ocean of birth and death. No conditioned soul actually knows what is to be done and what is not to be done. But a person who acts in Krishna consciousness is free to act because everything is prompted by Krishna from within and confirmed by the spiritual master. Machchita sarva durgani mat prasada tarishyasi atachetvam mahankaram nashroshyasi vinangshyasi. Om agyana tamarandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshuna mirutam dhena tajmai shigami nama. The goal, as described here by Lord Krishna, is to become conscious of Krishna, to become Krishna conscious, to become conscious of Krishna at every moment, in all of our activities. That is a great science, how to do that. Therefore, Krishna has made some arrangements so that it will be easy for us. For example, he advents himself in the form of the Archivigraha, the deity.
Oh.
This helps because Krishna and his form are equal, are the same, absolute. And by having Krishna in his deity form, we can be conscious of Him. We can see Him. We can bow down to Him. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Whenever we see the deity, we can bow down. This is as good as bowing down to Krishna personally. We read about so many personalities who were present during the time that Lord Krishna was on this planet. Like Akrura, for example. Akrura was very fortunate. He was the uncle of Krishna. And he knew that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when he was on his way to Vrindavan, he was given a very, kind of bittersweet service to perform. He was engaged by Kamsa. Kamsa was the greatest of the demons. And Kamsa hated Krishna. Kamsa wanted to kill Krishna. So he called in Akura because he was a great diplomat. He knew that Akura had a very sweet relationship with Krishna and Balaram. So he knew that if Akura went there and invited Krishna and Balaram to come, then they would certainly come. They would trust their uncle Akura. But his motive was all nefarious. He wanted to kill the boys. So he told Akura, now you go there and bring these boys here and tell them that we're going to have a wrestling match and the king wants them to come to witness the wrestling match. So Akura went there. He knew the aim of Kamsa was to kill the boys. So it was not a very pleasant thing that he was supposed to bring them back to be killed. On the other hand, he was so delighted that Kamsa could have become an instrument for letting him go and see Krishna and Balaram. So he was thanking Kamsa very much within himself. Kamsa had actually helped him by giving him the opportunity to come closer to Krishna and Balaram. Now when he was going from Mathura into Vrindavan, and as he came into the precincts of Vrindavan, he noticed on the soft sand Krishna's footprints. Now how could he tell it was Krishna's footprints? Because Krishna has distinctive marks on his feet. Lotus flower, the fish, umbrella, rod for controlling elephants. These are some of the marks on Krishna's feet. So Akura saw those marks with the emblems, the symbols in the sand, and he immediately understood this is Krishna's. Krishna has walked here, and he fell down crying and embracing the footprints, the dust he was smearing. And he was in complete ecstasy. He lost complete concern about whether he was in the material world or where he was or who he was or whether he was a man or a grihasta or whatever. He was just in complete ecstasy, absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So that is the goal, actually, to forget all these conceptions, illusions about who I am. Later on, when he actually met with Krishna and Balaram, then he revealed that he understood the philosophy that I'm very fallen, I'm thinking I'm a householder, I'm so attached to my followers and to my wealth and to my home. He went on and on. He said, but I don't want to be. I want to be only attached to you. This is the false ego, this Hridaya Granti, that knot that the spirit soul comes in contact with the material energy at that point. That is called the Ahankara, false ego, where he thinks that he is material. And beginning from that subtle false ego, then all the gross aspects take place. Then the intelligence becomes conditioned, then the mind becomes conditioned, the senses become conditioned, and the living entity becomes bound up. He becomes atmabandha, becomes bound up by this material world, material illusion. So, whenever we forget Krishna, then we are doing ourselves the greatest harm. Chanakya Pandit, the great moral instructor, he was the prime minister for Maharaj Chandragupta. He said that the most valuable thing in the world, which you cannot purchase for all the money, all the wealth, is a moment lost. Time. If you waste time, you cannot buy it back again. So, this human form of life is very valuable. Manusham durlabham janma. Very valuable lifetime. Very rarely achieved. And now, we should engage it in full Krishna consciousness, not partial. Because if it's only partial, then we'll have to stay in the material world again to finish up. But full, anya vilashita shunyam gyanakam abhyanavritam anukulyena krishnanushilanam bhakti uttama. This is the instruction of the acharyas. This line of Krishna consciousness, they're very serious persons, the acharyas in this line. They were not compromisers. Just look who we have coming. We have Lord Krishna, we have Brahma, we have Narada, Vyasadeva. These persons were fully devoted. Then we have Madhvacharya. I think he took sannyas at 8 years old. We have all these great, then we have Madhavendra Puri, and then Ishvara Puri, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Rupa Goswami. These were all great stalwarts. They were not interested in the slightest bit in this material world. They were totally absorbed in Krishna consciousness. For example, we have a painting here of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he's dancing before Lord Jagannath, and he was in such ecstasy that the tears were... Yes. The tears were... The tears were squirting out of his eyes like from a syringe. Everyone was getting wet all around him. He was in such ecstatic love. And he completely forgot where he was or what he was doing. He was just absorbed in chanting and Krishna, and he was falling on the ground. Therefore, Nityananda Prabhu had to keep catching him because he would fall on the ground very hard. He would just collapse down. So this is nothing to do with the material world. It's not that he saw some beautiful woman and he became all enraptured. No, he didn't care for any woman. He only cared for Krishna. In fact, when he went into the temple of Jagannath, as soon as he would go into the temple, he immediately fell unconscious on the ground. He saw Krishna, he saw Jagannath. He couldn't move. In fact, the temple priests, who were not so intelligent, they thought that he was just a pretender, someone making a false show. So they were going to beat him. Just see. Even today, these priests are not very intelligent. They also don't allow the members of the Krishna consciousness movement to enter. They will not let them come in because they say, you're born in Western family, you're not allowed to come in. So we shouldn't feel so bad. They even were prepared to beat Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They wouldn't allow Haridas Thakur in either, so we shouldn't feel disturbed. But anyway, fortunately, just at that time, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was the chief priest, chief of all priests and logicians, and he happened to come there and said, wait, don't beat him, let me see. And he saw that he was in the dress of a sannyasi. So he saw this person might be very exalted. So he noticed that all of his breathing, everything was suspended, all of his bodily functions. And he was afraid that maybe he had died. But then he put a little cotton swab under his nose, and he noticed that some of the fibers were moving just slightly. So he could understand that he was still living, and not only that, but he was for real. He was alive, but no one could put on a show like that where your breathing is so slight that only it moves just a little bit of the fiber of the cotton swab. He could understand this person's actually in an ecstatic trance. So he took him to his house. He said, bring him over to my house. And then he gained a great deal of respect because he could understand from these ecstatic symptoms that this was not an ordinary person. He had studied the scriptures. He knew about ecstatic symptoms. He was a great scholar. So our line, great stalwart personalities, totally disconcerned with this material world. They didn't care for anything here. The six Goswamis, Chakva Turnamashesha Mandalipati Shrenim Sada Tuchava, Bhutpa Dina Ganesha Kov Karunaya Kopi Nakantashito. Gopi Bhava Rasamrita Dilahari Kalola Magnamaho. Bande Rupa Sanatana Rugudago Shijiva Gopalaka. The six Goswamis were all from very, very wealthy families, very wealthy background. Rupa and Sanatan were the ministers, and they had boats of gold. And in those days, gold was worth a lot more than it is now. Hundreds of times more. And they gave it up. Chakva, Turnamashesha, they gave it up. Tuchava, as insignificant. And they simply accepted loincloths. So they gave up all those friends and society. They didn't care to live in a very nice building. They were living in palatial buildings. They had their own palaces, practically. But they gave it all up. And they accepted just a cloth, simple cloth. And they slept under a different tree every night. Now, who can do that? Prabhupada gave the example of one gentleman in India. You may know C.R. Das. So this gentleman was a very famous lawyer. And he was getting huge salary. And at that time, Mahatma Gandhi was organizing his non-cooperation movement against the British. So this Mr. Das was also very charitably disposed. He gave quite a bit of... He earned huge sums of money and he gave a lot in charity. But he also lived a very luxurious lifestyle. So Mahatma Gandhi went to him and said, "We need your help for our movement." He said, "Yes, I am prepared. I will give... I will do all the legal work for you free." And he said, "No, no, no." He said, "We don't want your work. We don't want your money. We want you completely. We want you to stop working in the British courts because there's no justice there. So we don't want you to work there." So he agreed. And of course, then he got no salary. Formerly he was getting thousands and thousands and thousands. And now he was getting no salary. They gave him a little bit. The Gandhi's movement, they gave him a small amount to maintain himself. But he was so charitably disposed that whenever anyone came to him and asked him, he gave it. So he died within 1 year. Because he was not able to adjust his lifestyle. He was used to a very high lifestyle and he could not change it. It was just too much, too painful. But the six Goswamis, they went from the highest standard of living to the lowest standard, to sleeping under a different, not even a hut, not even a cottage, no wife, no income. They didn't care for income. If they ate, if Krishna supplied, they ate. If not, they didn't worry. So how did they maintain? They didn't die within 1 year. They were in ecstasy. Gopi bhava rasamrita dilahari, because they were absorbed in the nectarine pastimes of Krishna and the gopis. They were in the mood of the gopis, feeling separation from Krishna. So the gopis, when Krishna left them, they couldn't stop thinking of Krishna for a moment. Sometimes they would say, "All right," the girls would get together, and they would say, "All right, we're going to have to stop thinking about Krishna. This is ridiculous. I mean, we're just always thinking about Krishna. It's causing us pain. We're not getting any happiness out of this. And he's not going to come back. He doesn't care about us. He's in Dwarka now, or Mathura. He's enjoying with all the sophisticated ladies there, the high society ladies. He doesn't care about us. So let's just stop thinking about him. All right? Yes. We all agree we're going to stop thinking about him right now. We shouldn't think about him anymore." But they couldn't. Then they realized, we can't stop thinking about him. Although he has left us, we cannot stop thinking about him. Well, this is the topmost level of worship of Krishna. And this was described by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ramya Kachid Upasana Brajavadu Vargena Vakalpita. There's no method of worshipping Krishna better than that conceived by the damsels of Brajabhumi. Their method was, whatever Krishna wants, whatever will satisfy him. If he wants us to leave our families, he played on his flute in the dead of night. They left their families. They gave up everything. They didn't care for anything material. They went into the forest in the middle of the night. Now, how many women, young girls, are prepared to go into the dead of the night in the forest? It's very frightening. Wild animals there. They didn't consider anything. And Krishna appreciated it. So he said, "My dear gopis, there is no method of worship better than yours. I know what you've done for me. You've broken all domestic ties. And there's no way I can repay you, even if I live as long as Brahma." He said, "So please be satisfied with your own pious activities. That's the only way I can repay you." So, we should try to follow in the footsteps of the six Goswamis in this mood of separation, serving. And what were their activities? Krishna kirtana gan anartana paro premamritam bonidi. They were always chanting and glorifying, singing and glorifying Krishna. Nana shastra vichara naikana pano saddharma samstapako. And they studied the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all living beings. This was their activity. Chanting, reading, preaching. Some of the Goswamis would bow down, pay their dandavats to hundreds of devotees every day out of showing respect to the Vaishnavas, out of humility. Sankhya purvaka nama gana nati bhi. They were chanting regulated number of rounds every day on their japa mala. You can see when you go to Vrindavan, the bhajan kutir of Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Jiva Goswami, where they stayed and they chanted, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. They were chanting day and night, sleeping less than 2 hours a night. Hare Krishna. They were so absorbed in service of Krishna that sleep was not a very important thing for them. But we consider sleep very, very important. Unfortunately, this is our conditioning. Mode of ignorance. This is our great misfortune that we have been raised in this material world where the heroes are actually not saintly persons. We were hearing today, Srila Prabhupada was discussing with some devotees about a Varnashram college, he said. He said, we must have Varnashram college. And so the question was asked, well, at this Varnashram college, will we be teaching mathematics and history? He said, the only history we will teach is Mahabharata. We're not interested in these nonsense histories. We only want to hear about great saintly persons, great kings like Maharaj Yudhisthira. We're not interested in hearing about these other persons. So that is our history. If society were to redirect itself, then all the problems would be solved. Just like now, there's civil war in Yugoslavia. Horrible war. So many people are being killed. It's just, why? Why are they being killed? Nobody even knows exactly. They don't even actually know why they're fighting. Well, because this group, we want to be in charge, they want to do this, and we want to do that. We want to be in charge. But all this is based on false ego. It's all based on forgetfulness of God. They don't know the purpose of life. Latevidu, Svartagatimni Vishnu, they don't know what the purpose of life is. Andhayatandarupaniyamana. The leaders are all blind and they're leading everyone down into the ditch. So, if we add Krishna consciousness, Isha Vasyamidam Sarvam, then automatically all these wars, they'll stop because people will become peaceful, satisfied. Oh, what do I need? What do I need to fight for? What is there to accomplish? I just want to become Krishna conscious and go back to Godhead. Why should I make so much of an endeavor to stay in this material world? This is not my home. It's like if you're on some train, right? Maybe you've been on a train sometime, and so someone, you're sitting down, and someone says, "I want to sit there." And you say, "No, I'm sitting here." And the person says, "No, I'm going to sit there." So, if you're Krishna conscious, all right, you sit here. But if you're not Krishna conscious, you say, "All right, let's fight." And then some of the other members, they take sides, and soon you have the whole train is fighting over. What did it start over? One man wanted to sit there, and the other man wanted. So if one is a little Krishna conscious, he says, "All right, you sit here, I'll stand up."
Yeah.
What is the problem? I don't need to sit here. I can live without sitting there. But if he's under the false ego, you think that you are better than me, that you should sit here and cause me discomfort? Pull out the revolver. Shoot him. And this is what's going on all over the world, this false ego. Whereas, do you think the six Goswamis would have fought over the seat? No, no, please, you sit. I'll stand and chant Hare Krishna. But us, oh no. So this is the problem, this false ego. But if you become lover of Krishna, you see all living entities, you treat all living entities as you would like to be treated. So then, yes, it'll be you won't mind giving up your seat if it will make someone happy. So, this is all the problems are caused by lack of God consciousness. Now they have the problem of AIDS, killing millions of people. And you know what the government is now recommending? No sexual intercourse. That's what they're recommending. Well, that's in the Vedas, it's been there for thousands of years. You see, it took AIDS for them to finally realize. Otherwise, they would not have written that. Before, they were encouraging, yes, have sex, have as much as you like, don't worry about it. Now they're saying no, because everyone's dying. So, the Vedic culture is perfect. This Bhagavad Gita has been saying brahmacharyam. Brahmacharya means celibacy. It's been saying it for thousands of years. In fact, the four ashrams, brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, three of them have no sex at all. One of them has sex only with the wife or the husband. And then only for having children, and then only once in a month. And then only if the wife is not pregnant. That is Vedic culture. That is why it's called a very pure, shuchi, very clean culture. This is a good time to spread Krishna consciousness. People are very concerned about their health now. They're very concerned about their habits that they've developed. Also, you know what it says in the government books? Don't drink, don't smoke. Also, they say this, and don't take drugs, because this also will weaken your health. They say this now. This has also been in the Vedas. So, there should be many people wanting to take shelter of Krishna now, because basically their whole life, if they can't have illicit sex, and they can't have intoxication anymore, then might as well surrender to Krishna. Might as well. What else is there to do? They don't know what to do. They don't know how to be happy without those things. That's their life. So better to surrender to Krishna. And yes, so we'll tell them, yes, now you've come to the right conclusion. Somehow or other, maybe due to circumstances. But that's all right. Krishna says, chatur vidha bhajante manjana sukhati nordana. Even if one is in distress and he surrenders to Krishna, he's pious. Even if he's looking for wealth, we also heard today that the people in general will be coming to our communities. They'll be coming soon because they'll have no choice. The taxes are so great, the droughts, there will be shortage of foodstuffs, shortage of rain. And they will be taxed very highly. So they will come. They will just go to the forest. So we must be prepared for them. And what does that preparation mean? It means we must be ideal in our behavior. We must become Vaishnavas, follow the footsteps, Mahajana Yena Gatasapanta, these great souls, Satatam Kirtayanto Maham Yatantascha Vridhavataha, always chanting the names of the Lord, associating with the devotees. We have to desire strongly to become Krishna conscious. That's the only thing that we must do, is desire strongly. That's the only thing we can do, really. We don't have control over anything else. Even if we want to make material nature go the way we want, we have no control over it. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. He's thinking he's doing things, but actually everything is being controlled by nature. But the one thing that he can do is desire. No one can. So that one thing we can do, if we desire to be Krishna conscious. There was a very nice verse by Rupa Goswami. He says, Kamadinam katina katita palita durnideshas. That I have been serving these wicked masters, my senses, for such a long time now. And they gave me no relief. I served them faithfully, but still they gave me no relief. So, but recently, by your mercy, I've gained a little labdha buddhis. I've gained some intelligence. I've become a little more intelligent. And now I want to surrender to your lotus feet, which are abhayam, fearless. So please do not kick me away. So this should be our mood. That yes, I've been serving my senses for so long, these bad masters. And I'm frustrated, I'm suffering so much. Now I want to change masters. I want you to become my master. Madhupate, I want to become your servant, and only your servant. I don't want to be servant. I don't want to be Godas. Godas means servant of the senses. I want to be Krishna Das. So that is the desire that we should have. And if we have that desire, then eventually Krishna will help us, depending on how strong our desire. Even if it's weak, the Goswamis have also said, even that desire is weak, it's causing me pain. But anyway, there's a little bit of a desire there. So that little desire, that will carry us ultimately to Krishna consciousness. We have to cultivate that. Make sure that desire is increasing. If there's a little spark there, fan it. Fan that spark until it becomes bigger. Yes, I want to become a servant of Krishna. Thank you very much. Any questions?
You gave an example of C.R. Das, Chitranjan Das, who was invited by Mahatma Gandhiji to give up all the activities of his legal life and dedicate himself to the activities which had been taken up by Mr. Gandhi. Then you said that he did so, and in a year's time, because there was a change in the mode of life, which he was passing as a very luxurious one in the days when he was doing the practice. And he died after a year. Do you think that is there any connection between the span of life which is dedicated by Krishna or Almighty and the type of work you just adopt?
Is the type of work?
You embrace, you take up, you know, because he was doing work as a legal practitioner and earning a lot of money. Then he renounced everything, and he became the disciple. Now, suppose anybody becomes the disciple, is the life, on account of the change of the mode of life, the lifespan is being shortened? Can we not think that it is decided and it is the decision of Almighty? How long is the life? You know?
Yeah, ultimately it's up to Krishna. But Srila Prabhupada, who gave us this example, he used it specifically to point out the difference between those who take up spiritual life. He gave the example of the Goswamis because they were also living that very high life. But they give it up.
But they had got longer life. Goswamiji's all had got longer life. Because that is foreordained. You know, decide that from the beginning, at the time of the birth or from the last previous and previous incarnations. It is not in the hand of anybody, or it is not due to the type of the job the person does. I mean, suppose I may embrace this life, I may embrace to all asceticism, or hermit's life, or monk's life. It doesn't mean that I can make a change in the life. Would it be possible?
The idea was not so much that whether he was lawyer.
As an example, it is okay. You know, he died. You know, well, that's all right. He relinquished everything, all the luxuries of life, and he died.
The point was that he was not able. Because he was not accustomed, he had nothing. He had nothing to satisfy him. Whereas the Goswamis, when they gave up that, because they were rich in their Krishna consciousness, so that if we want, that doesn't mean, of course, that someone cannot be wealthy and also be Krishna conscious. There are many examples, Ambarish Maharaj and so many Maharajas, great kings, Yudhisthira. They were very wealthy. But the unique example of the Goswamis is there, that although they were so opulent, they gave it up, and they were fully satisfied, they were more blissful and more satisfied because they took to Krishna consciousness. And without taking to Krishna consciousness, it's very difficult to give up one's lifestyle. Just like nowadays people, for example, if there were no power, then for a very long time, most people would die, because they don't know how to live simply. They're not prepared to live a simple life. No one knows how to grow anything anymore. So the Veda culture was not like that. Veda culture encouraged people to grow their own food, not be dependent upon food being shipped in from another country or something like that. Live a simple life and be satisfied. Be satisfied. I think there was another.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the movie though. Mahatma Gandhi, he fasted because he was unsatisfied with the. He renounced his position, and they all wanted him to come back. And the people that were working around him were trying to get him to eat, and he didn't want to eat. And at the last day when he died, I think he took something to eat. But then a few hours later, he died.
No, he didn't die.
No,
he didn't die. He was not dead. You know.
Oh, shot.
He
was shot.
He was shot. You know.
Yeah. Godfrey. And who killed the Kennedy?
That's right. He walked through the crowd. That's right.
Why?
There's no reason why.
Yes?
We were just talking about backfires. I'm married. Somebody was mentioning a temple in Germany at the time of birth of Christ called Nindaden. Not Nindaden, but Nindaden. Been something. It's a German temple that was in Germany back before Christ. It was a calm center of people unmarried. What was the name of it?
Please.
It was a temple in born Christ. New Bindad, not New Bindad, but New.
Anyway, what about it?
Well, bachelors, let's say bachelors, people that don't believe in. You know, like, here comes the bride, you know, I mean, like, it's a song. I mean, but it's a temple there where...
there are monks.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Any other questions?
Well, it's a good time before Christ, you know. It's long before, no? Oh, how many years before? Lonely.
Well, I've just seen the picture on it.
Yeah, Brahmacharya life has been recommended for a very long time. Beginning with the Kumaras, the first Brahmacharis, Chatursana. Their father, Brahma, requested them to please get married and produce progeny. But they refused. They said, no, we don't want to get married. We want to concentrate more on spiritual life. So they were the first Brahmacharis in our universe. And... so they are still Brahmacharis.
Who are
they? Chatursana, the Kumaras.
Oh, Sanat Kumara.
Sanat Kumara, Sanatan Kumara.
Six Kumaras.
Four. They say, you said that they are moving on this space there. You know.
They're going around. They're traveling around. They're now pure devotees. In the beginning, they were impersonalists, but they became pure devotees of Krishna when they smelled the incense offered to the lotus feet of the Lord.
Yeah. I have just one quick question. What does it tell us in any of the Vedic literatures to accept everything literally? Where is it said? Instead of creating our own interpretation?
Where is it stated?
Yeah, where is that stated? In any literature?
Well, it is described, there's Gona Vritti and Mukhya Vritti. So, Mukhya Vritti means you accept as it is, without it, the literary or the literal dictionary meaning. And where you say Gona Vritti means you give your interpretation. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu criticized Shankaracharya because Shankaracharya gave Gona Vritti, he interpreted. But actually, he said that Vyasadev, the author, his words are not meant to be interpreted. They're to be taken as they are. Truthful, I mean, without any change. So that is the whole system of disciplic succession. That no one is allowed, that's the basic principle, that one must speak what he's heard. If he gives a different interpretation, he's immediately disqualified. So from the very beginning, that is required. That is the qualification that he must have heard from disciplic succession, and he must teach the same thing. As soon as he gives something different, he's immediately removed. He's disqualified. Bhagavad Gita ki jai.